Anna.
Hello.
Hello. Well, it didn't take quite as long, just 5 minutes today.
Got in right away, so our lines must be a dry.
Well, it wouldn't even ring. You know, it would just say dialing, but the numbers would move, you know, the 0123 and the no message in a foreign language or anything. It just wouldn't do anything. So I said, well, I'll just keep
Understood.
trying.
Shall we go?
I guess so. I'm so far behind, maybe I'll come. But let's go ahead and go.
Okay, we're on Pasuk 66 of Parsha Vayera, section 5, from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. We'll start with L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kud shabrichu ishkin te bit chilur himu ut chilur himu. L'yachda l'shem yud he bovav he. V'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, lasok Torah mitzvah. V'yihi noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu kununehu. Pasuk 66. Mat nitin ilain ramain tavin yamina teisha nekudin yoraita nafkin umitpalgin v'yat one deho nadlin matlano the kikin, the rase, faltin elaine, teisha, shalitin, inun, at one minaihu, it pashtu, ishta aru, nekudin, de leana, lone la natlin, barno, Barkadinun Nafkin. The translation. Mishnah. To you who are supernal, great and good from the right side, the following secret has been said. The nine vowels that appear in the Torah are divided by the letters. These letters secretly take short trips. These nine rulers issue these letters, which then expand. The nine vowels remain intact, as so as to have the letters. The letters move only after the vowels appear. My commentary. A Mishnah implies a spiritual law. Even if we do not understand the Mishnah's description of the law, the verse is esoteric. Where do letters go? How do the vowels appear in your interpretation of the Torah? Questions, comments, thoughts? Are you still there, Hannah?
I'm here, Hanok.
Do you have any questions or comments, thoughts, Brandy, on this verse?
Well, the vowels, that line stands out to me in the letters. they have a meaning, but I can't remember exactly what it is, unless it's part of the soul of the Torah.
What has a meaning that you're not remembering?
The vowels.
Well, they have names, they have sounds, and they have a gematria as well.
Okay.
But there are no vowels written in the Torah.
Right.
But
well, then
Torah,
why did they...
We have vowels that come from what's called the Masoretic text or the Masoretic scroll. It's a scroll
okay.
that was written with vowels. And that's how we know how to pronounce the words. But it's not the only way to pronounce the words. It's not the only way to understand the meaning of the Torah. And that's what we have been talking about. How do you add vowels? Where is the source of the vowels? And the soul, the vowels that we have received over the centuries comes from this one scroll that was written with the vowels.
Wow. That's interesting.
The verse is saying that there's nine vowels that appear in the Torah and are divided by the letters. And these letters secretly take short trips. That's a code that doesn't really explain much. What does it mean that a letter has taken a short trip? In my opinion, it means that the vowel is moving. The letters are moving relative to the vowels. The letters are moving from one level to the next and then returning to the level that they're on. Many different ways of understanding that phrase.
Well, why would they do that? Is it to get extra energy?
Say the last part of the question again.
I said, why would they do that? Why would they move from one level to the other?
They go from one level of Zerampin to another, one emotion to another.
Oh, excuse me, I'm back. I had to get on the landline because evidently you couldn't hear me.
Correct. We couldn't hear you, or otherwise we would have still been talking to you.
Yeah, so, well, I was giving you the answer, but all of a sudden you start talking to Brandy, so I figured you couldn't hear, and I tried again on the cell, and it still didn't work. So can y'all catch me up with what you've said, or is that asking too much?
Well, Brandy was just talking about the vowels, and we were talking about the what the words in the translation said, that the letter secretly takes short trips, and that the there are nine vowels that appear in the Torah, and they're divided by the letters. And what the meaning of of those sentences are. So I just answered that the vowels come from the Masoretic text or the Masoretic scroll, and the vowels essentially are divided by the letters. That's what's being said here. But what does that really mean? It means each letter gets its own vowel.
Okay, I would have thought it meant that the letters are the body and the vowels are the soul of the letters. And I wondered
if
the nine rulers are the Sephirot. And
when you say the nine rivers, what are you referring to?
When I said the nine rulers is what the translation says, and I wondered if the nine rulers meant the nine Sephirot, which would influence the letters.
The nine rulers, I'm not seeing that in this translation, but the nine rulers refer to the vowels. There are nine different vowels. We would expect 10, except that Malchut has no vowel.
Right.
Has no life. Has no vowel. The life is a higher level than the letter.
Well, that's why I thought the nine rulers were the nine Sephirot. Mine says, I thought I heard you read it. These letters secretly take short trips. These nine rulers issue these letters.
You're right. You're right.
Which then
it is there. I just didn't pick it. I didn't pick it up. These nine rulers issue these letters. The vowels are the cause of the letters.
Right. And I thought that was why we referred to the letters as the body of the Torah and the vowels as the soul of the letters.
That's correct.
And that the souls were more important, you know. I mean, even the letters have changed over the years. I mean, when I looked at, I didn't make a mention of it yesterday, but when we looked at a model of the half shekel that was found, I have a model coin of it, and, you know, the shin is different, and some of the other letters you can't really make out according to Olivet today. And then when you think about how some letters disappear, like Vav will be missing, but, you know, the Holam will be there, not necessarily on the Torah scroll, but in books, but yet the Vav is not there. And
and sometimes the Sigol is added to the Patach and the Chamatz, and also to and the Sigol. So sometimes the Sigol is added to those three vowels.
And then we have names that get added letters or dropped letters, so that would mean, you know, give some meaning to them taking short trips. And,
yes.
You know, noting that there's different movements.
Correct.
And then isn't there a machloket as to which letters? I know we've seen on some glyphs letters between the Sephirot, but yet some disagree. You know how they have the mother letters in the middle and then other letters on the side, but others will disagree that the letters are in different places, which could have some meaning of them taking short trips.
I wouldn't think that, but it's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the different sages say that the different lines, which the lines are representing a roadmap or a process, the sephirot represent levels of consciousness, but the path between the levels of consciousness are the lines, and the sages have different opinions as to which letters they are.
Mm-hmm. And when it says the letters move only after the vowels appear, I would think that that was why you wanted us to add the vowel of the letter, you know, abegida, because we're putting movement into the consonants there rather than just aleph, bet. I mean, there's still power, but it's not as when you put that vowel with it and when you chant it.
Correct. That's why I do it that way, abegi, and so forth.
Yeah, right. And I made that handout, so that's why it's in my brain.
Understood. Should I go on?
Well, I was trying to, there was one other thing that came to my mind. I think it was about
okay.
the final letters. Did you one time make a statement that the Olivet was going to change and it was going to be all final letters?
That's correct.
And Hashem's name will change to Yod-Heh, Yod-Heh?
Yod-Heh, Yod-Heh, yes.
Okay. I don't understand that. But
well, let me explain it as best I can.
Okay.
If you look at, except for the mem, if you look at the final letters, they all go below the line.
All right.
If the negative system is not in control, going below the line feeds them additional energy, gives them additional power and strength, and makes them more difficult to control. So the purpose of the final letters is, one, to tell us or inform us that it's the end of the word. But it's really the way the letters should be formed. But if it were to be formed that way now, when the foot negative system isn't in control, it would be very much more difficult to defeat the Satan. But when the Mashiach comes, the negative system will be in control. And it will be controlled. And there's no worry about feeding additional energy to the negative system. So all those letters will, all the final letter forms will be the final letters, as well as the interim letters in the middle of the word and the beginning of the word.
What do you think Kuf is going to do? Because Kuv is the only one facing Aleph, you know, the direction of the Aleph, and it's a double agent, I think is the way you put it one time. You know, I love the Aleph bit,
yeah.
So I just...
It is a double agent because it's feeding the negative system enough energy to survive. It's mm-hmm. not giving it too much. We give it too much when we make our sins, God forbid. But the Kuf is not going to change, but I'm not sure what you mean by saying that the Kuf is facing the Aleph.
Well, if you look at the way you make it, You know, it has like the point, and that point is facing in the direction of Aleph, whereas most of the, if I'm not mistaken, the rest of them are going from right to left. But the Kuf is, looks like he's going from left to right, like, you know.
I don't see that, because it's a backward C with a Zion. Or with a Vav.
Well, so when you make it, when you're writing it, you have a point that looks like a greater than sign, and then you have a straight diagonal line, vertical line, not diagonal, vertical line that hangs below the line.
You're going by the block print, but you have to look at the Asherites. You have to look at the script from the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
And
but see, even my Olive Bet chart going across my classroom, I mean, that was the thing, that was how I noticed it. You know, seeing that it appears to be going in the wrong direction. Not wrong direction, but in the opposite direction than the others, where it appears that from Olive all the way to Tav, you know, you're going from right to left. But when you find Kuf, and I figured it was kind of like Baal Zephon, who wants to pretend that he thinks he's as strong as Yadav Vavheh, Hashem.
No,
and so
no.
It's the one that's being a double agent. And so,
Hana, your chart was incorrect. The Kuf goes below the line, but it starts with the Yud at the top of the backward C. You go around and make the C, then you lift your pen up and you draw your line, but you sometimes it's made as a Vav, which again is just hooked to the left. Sometimes it's made as a Zion, but it's not connecting to the C.
Okay, I'm going to look at Jacob's chart here. See what I see.
Jacob's chart is also incorrect in that he doesn't do the.
But see, that's what Davka prints. That's what our Hebrew processors print. And
I understand that, but I'm saying
so they're all incorrect.
It's not the only one. The only font that is correct is what's written in the Torah. And a scribe has different ways of making them, but they never connect the line of the Kuf to the C.
Mm-hmm.
It's always separate.
Oh, so that's why you're saying it's facing the left. Okay. All right. I can see that. But I also have the book, you know, that we work with, that I would work with Born Bat Mitzvah students.
Right.
I don't remember what it's called, but has their Torah portion the way that it looks in the Torah scroll that we study with them before we actually, you know, take them toward the last few weeks to let them practice reading from the scroll itself. And so I can look there and see it too.
That book is called a Tikkun.
Okay, I've kind of forgotten because that was the very first book I ever bought.
Right. That has the column without vowels and with vowels, two different, one page has with vowels, one page without. But if you look at it, it's done the way the Torah's, the scroll is going to look.
Mm-hmm. And see, I have a tendency to make the line first, and then what you're calling the backward C after that. Whereas I think really it should be the other way around, and that's probably why I'm thinking it's facing the Aleph. So
right, and that makes sense, but it's not.
Okay. Well, I like to be corrected. You know that.
Well, and I didn't want it to let it stand in the recording because I don't know who else would make that mistake.
Right.
So
right. Thank you. Well, we always want you to correct us with wrong thinking because we got a lot of wrong thinking.
And I like you to correct me when I'm wrong, so it's all good.
Okay, good.
We're out of time, but it was a good discussion.
Yes.
And we're going to be having a re-essay tonight having to do with the Shekelim.
Okay, that'd be great.
Is that Mishpatim? From Mishpatim?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay, thank you. Bye, Brandy.
Thank you. Bye.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Bye-bye. Thank you.